This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this edition of the USEA podcast, we're going to be previewing the Young Rider Championships, which will be held at the Colorado Horse Park later this month. Vicki Howard-Fine will be here to tell us about the mentorship program that she coordinates, and Diane Snow, who is co-chair of the USEA's Young Rider Committee, will be previewing the competition. But we begin with Sarah Broussard, who is the organizer at the event at Rebecca Farm, which takes place this week from the 21st through the 24th of July. This popular event in Kalispell, Montana, will be hosting the USEA Gold Cup Series, as usual, as well as a host of other divisions. And Sarah joins us now to tell us all about it. Sarah, welcome back. Of course, you've become a regular on the program now, haven't you?
Well, yeah, thank you very much for having me back. It's always a good time to talk to you.
Well, always a good time to catch you just before the event, because you know all the pieces are in place now. And remind everybody how many years you've been running this event, Sarah, because this is a milestone.
Yes, it is. This is our 15th year anniversary. And to look at the event and the competitors, and basically everything that has grown from when we started in 2002 is absolutely amazing. And the support of the local community as well as the eventing community continues to astound me every year.
And this has always been an important part in the series, one of 11 in the Adequan USEA Gold Cup Series, and an important part of the event for you too, isn't it, to host that division?
Yes, it's It's wonderful that the USEA has come up with this Gold Cup Series, and it really allows, you know, it gives competitors a place to go and kind of a new direction, you know, almost a championship series within and of itself. And it really does showcase the best riders on the best horses at those levels. It's amazing to watch Gold Cup Series at other events as well. It's just such a wonderful competition.
Can we talk about entries, who you're expecting this year?
You know, I haven't actually looked at the competitors list. I know that's terrible of me. So I can't really tell you who's coming. I know in general a lot of the people that are coming, but I'm not positive what levels they are running.
I shouldn't have put you on the spot there, Sarah, but we always know there's a good cast of characters that make their way out to Kalispell, because it is such a wonderfully beautiful event, beautiful landscape, a very, very popular event on the calendar. So what can riders expect when they get there this year? What have you done? Anything different that they should know about? Or if anyone's new to the event, what to look out for?
Well, we always try to add a new complex, a little new, you know, jump set on cross country. This year, we've created another water jump. So if we use all of the water jumps, we have five, which is pretty impressive. And they're all, you know, shaped differently and have different levels of difficulty. And we pretty much try to create a water jump for every level that is perfect for that level that they can really enjoy. So this year we've added something for the novice and training. We have changed the novice and training courses quite a bit. They run a slightly different track than the upper level courses do, and it allows for absolutely amazing spectator availability. You can see generally almost the entire course for novice and training from one spot, and so that's really nice for everyone to be able to really get involved and see the lower levels and see the progression of how these horses and riders start low and continue up throughout the levels.
And your course designer this year?
Our course designer this year for the upper levels is still Ian Stark, and then we also have Burt Wood and Mark Grandia, and Mark is a newcomer to us here. He's designing the novice and training courses, and Burt is doing prelim, intermediate, and I believe the CCI one-star course, and then Ian is doing the CCI two-star, the CIC three-star, and the CCI three-star.
Now, what about your sponsors? Because obviously being such a well-established event, Sarah, you've got that basic core family of sponsors. Talk about those and where they fit into the different divisions and the overall event.
Well, through all of the years we've had the event, we have had a lot of, you know, prize sponsors, Gallup Saddlery, We've gotten in with Murdochs and Carrots. Magic Equine has come on board this year. They've donated a lot of awards for prizes. We've been lucky this year to get some new community sponsorship through the hospital here. They've become an integral sponsor. We're very excited to have them. The college has always been involved. They are more so through volunteers. But this year we've really done a campaign for the local community and really getting the local community involved. We've gotten the Chamber of Commerce on board. It's been really exciting to see, you know, we've gotten the word out locally. We've done a lot of kind of door-to-door working with the different connections that people have here at the farm. And you know, someone who rides here, who competes here, we say, hey, you know, take this back to your place of business and the people you know. We've gotten involved with Rotary. It's been a really amazing road this last year to see the local community come out in full force and support us through sponsorship as well as volunteerism.
Talk about the prize money a little bit, Sarah, and those prizes, especially in the Adequan Gold Cup Series as well.
Well, for our side of things, for the CCA 3-star, there is a $30,000 purse. And it, basically all levels we do offer prize money all the way down to novice. as to the Adequan Gold Cup Series, that actually comes directly from USEA. So in essence, they're one of our sponsors as well. And we also get money from the American Horse Trials Foundation to give prize money to the national levels. So there's definitely a decent amount of prize money that goes out along with some absolutely wonderful prizes that are donated from, like I said, wonderful, wonderful businesses such as Gallup Saddlery, Carrots, Murdochs, Magic Equine, and Toklat. Toklat has been a good supporter of us as well.
Now, aside from the event, you also have arts and crafts. You have something for the whole family that weekend.
Yes, we do. We have an amazing trade fair that every year gets a little bigger and bigger, and it showcases a lot of local artisans. It's not just horsey stuff. There's very little horsey stuff. It's more local arts and crafts and really showcasing what people here in the Valley have to offer. It is a family friendly area to go. We have a kid zone with, you know, pony rides and face painting and crafts for the kids to do. We really like to keep that family feel, that family friendly area for people to come, bring the family, enjoy some wonderful competition as well as be able to go and cruise through the trade fair. We have numerous food vendors, which is part of what, you know, partially my favorite part is to get out there and check out all the food. lots of good stuff, you know, out there in the food court area. And it's great to walk through that trade fair area and just see everyone having so much fun and being able to give them that opportunity and to give them the opportunity to see these absolutely amazing athletic combinations that are out there on a cross-country course.
Tell us about Holt Cantor at X.
Halt Cancer at X is something that I initiated 5 years ago. The first year we had it was in 2012. And my initial drive behind it was to simply raise money for breast cancer research. That was the original guiding notion of Halt Cancer at X. In subsequent years, we have also opened it up to support some local programs here in Kalispell and surrounding areas for patients who are dealing with cancer, patients who've been newly diagnosed, families of patients, families going through treatment. It's been really wonderful to see how that has impacted the local community. It's wonderful to know that we've given money to research. That's great, but research takes a long time, and it's an ongoing, continuous field, where the money that we put into programs here in the Valley, we can see that the effect of that immediately. And that has been really great. And it also is great because we ask for a parking donation when our spectators come to view the event. And they know that that money that they donate as a parking donation goes directly to Halt Cancer at X, which then turns around and supports local community programs. So they feel that, that they're keeping that money here in the Valley, and that's really important to a lot of people here. The Flathead Valley community is one of the most caring communities I've ever been a part of. And bringing the eventing community, which is also a very close-knit, very caring community, bringing those two communities together with one goal in mind of basically stomping out cancer, it's been very humbling for me to see the support that the program has gotten.
And visitors can actually donate online, can't they, on your website?
Yes, they can donate online. We ask the competitors to do pledges where, you know, there's a pledge form and they go out to their people and just say, hey, will you give $5, $10, $15 in support of me going to the event at Rebecca Farm to support Halt Cancer at X? And, you know, in years past, we've had, you know, competitors. I like to recognize two different avenues of fundraising. I like to recognize the person who raises the most money. That's always nice to say, you know, oh, hey, you know, Susie Q here raised $5,000 on her own for Halt Cancer at X. But I also like to recognize the person who actually had the most pledge givers, you know, whereas Susie Q may have gotten that $5,000 from, say, five people, where a younger or, you know, a different competitor may go out and solicit maybe 100 people and only come up with $500. But the fact that they went out there and, you know, got pledges from such a large number of people, I like to recognize that as well.
And to summarize,
I was going to say, there's also, you know, there's so many aspects of fundraising that we do for Halt Cancer at X here at the event. We have a 5K farm-to-market run that there's an entrance fee to run in the race, and that money goes directly to Halt Cancer at X. We sell patron passes, which give people VIP access to the tents, so on and so forth. You know, they can hobnob with upper-level competitors and the coaches and the selectors and that kind of stuff. And all of that money goes into Halt Cancer at X. And then we also have our little demonstration that Bert Wood, Ian Stark, and myself compete in. Just a demo. We go out, we have fun. Last year it turned into quite the costume class. I believe that probably many people have seen pictures of me wearing my pink tutu while I was out on cross country. and it was very difficult for me because I'm not a big pink person, and I had on more pink in the span of those 3 days of competing than I believe I've ever worn in my entire life.
And there is photographic evidence.
There is photographic evidence, but, you know, it was mainly about getting people excited, giving people enjoyment, and having people then in turn give money to Halt Cancer at X. We set it up so that a spectator can buy scores for a competitor. So I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but we'll say, you know, for $25, a spectator can buy me a 10 on one of my dressage movements. So that just boosts my score. Or someone can buy an error for me and a 10 for, say, Ian, so that Ian gets more in the lead. And you can buy faults in dressage, cross country, and show jumping for any competitor you want, whether you want to give positive points or negative points. So the crowd really gets involved, and it becomes quite a spectacle. And this year, we're really pumping that up a little bit more. It's actually listed on the schedule that we have, so people will know when it's happening, where it's happening, because last year a lot of people felt that they really wanted to watch it, but they didn't know when it was happening. So this year we're making sure that people are aware, because it is fun, and the three of us go out there and we just have fun, and that's what it's all about. And it's about remembering that this sport is fun for competitors that do it. It is fun. But when you watch them in their competitive mode, you know, they're very serious, they're very determined, they're very competitive. but we all do it because it's fun. That's the bottom line. And so we try to come out and bring that humor side of it in all of our tutu glory, shall we say.
I guess you find out who your friends and favorites are then with that.
Definitely. And I think, you know, sometimes people, I think people gave me money just because I was wearing a tutu. I wore one tutu in dressage. I wore two tutus on cross country, and I wore three tutus in show jumping.
Well, that's definitely worth a few extra points, I would have thought.
It was pretty funny, and I think that when people saw me walking, actually, people would see me walking to the arena, and they would literally just stop and look at me, and I just would answer yes. I know. And they would just start laughing. And I was like, yes, this is what it's about. It's about having fun. It's about getting people, you know, excited about what's going on. And they, you know, the crowd influence when we're doing our demo really is important. You know, last year when I was leaving my dressage test, I was, you know, doing bows and some ballet movements on my horse. You know, just to get people laughing and involved and having fun. And that's, you know, for me, the event is about having fun. It's about a very low-key family feel. You know, I always joke that this week or this coming week, I have 600 of my closest friends coming for a really big party. And we all are here to have fun. And we at the event on the organizing side, we do everything possible to give competitors a positive, enjoyable, fun experience.
And it certainly is. All takes place at Rebecca Farm in Kalispell, Montana from the 21st through the 24th. And just remind everybody, in summary, there's Sarah, apart from the advanced and the CIC three-star, the Gold Cup Series, what the other divisions are and what roughly the schedule is for those 4 days.
Well, we have novice training, preliminary, intermediate at the national level, as well as the novice 3-day and the training 3-day. Then we have the CCI 1-star, CCI 2-star, CIC 3-star, and CCI 3-star on the international side of things. And then also on Wednesday, we have the young and future event horse things going on. So that happens all day on Wednesday. Thursday, you have the, you know, a very large portion of dressage. And actually, some of the lower levels do cross country on Thursday as well. Friday is a lot of dressage as well as more cross country. Saturday is strictly cross country. The upper levels go on Saturday. There will be some show jumping that happens on Saturday for the lower levels. And then Sundays, the majority of show jumping happens. We have three arenas going pretty much all day. This year, we're going to add a flag ceremony with the singing of the national anthem. That's going to be very exciting. Something new we've incorporated this year. So that's going to kind of be the opening ceremony for the FEI divisions for show jumping. You know, a whole flag procession, hopefully a mounted flag procession, and a local opera type singer singing the national anthem. It's going to be pretty cool.
Fabulous. Well, that all takes place again from July the 21st to the 24th at Rebecca Farm. They can find more information, Sarah, on the website. Quite a new look website too, RebeccaFarm.org.
Yes, exactly. RebeccaFarm.org. It's still the same address. It just looks a lot different. We got, you know, everybody likes a little bit of change every now and then, and we feel that the new website is a bit more user-friendly and really can showcase what happens here at the event a little bit better.
And not only can you find visitors' information there, but you can also find out how to get involved with the event if you're local and interested.
Exactly. Wonderful. We love our volunteers, and we have been doing a pretty serious volunteer drive this year to get our volunteer numbers up, simply because the event has grown so much. We just, you know, there are areas that keep popping up. Like, you know, we need people to help with parking. 15 years ago, we didn't need to worry about that because we barely had any spectators at all. And now we have thousands of spectators, so we need help there. And, you know, more people coming as competitors, you know, 600 competitors with all of their menagerie. we just find these places. They're definitely good problems to have, and we just need volunteers out there to help not only our side of things, but the competitors, to make it a little easier on them.
And we should mention, though, Sarah, that if they are helping with the parking, they're not obligated to wear a pink tutu.
No, they are not obligated to wear a pink tutu. However, if they want to wear a pink tutu, they are more than happy, more than welcome to wear it. There's no limit on their own personally chosen uniform.
Wonderful. All right, you're open to your own imagination, but for sure you are guaranteed to have fun at Rebecca Farm from July the 21st
exactly.
through the 24th. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the program. The very best of luck with your 15th event there at Rebecca Farm, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend. And thanks again for coming on the program.
Thank you very much, and thanks again for having me. Always a good time.
Diane Snow joins me now. She's co-chair of the USCA Young Rider Committee, and she's busy at Rebecca Farm as we caught up with her to find out more about young riders going to Colorado this year. Diane, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about this new move then to Colorado from the Kentucky Horse Park. You will be familiar with the Colorado Horse Park. And tell us a little bit about what this means to the program and the schedule, because the schedule has shifted to the CCI format now.
Yes. Well, let's see. It has been 7 years at the Kentucky Horse Park, I believe. So moving venues brings with it challenges and opportunities. So it's we've got some horses who are flying in from the East Coast and some who are making the drive. And obviously it makes it nice for the West Coast horses. It's a little less than driving all the way to Kentucky. And all in all, I think it's exciting to have a change of venue, although having it at the Kentucky Horse Park was quite nice and a good opportunity for the young riders to gallop around on that lovely footing and that great venue. And in general, I think the move brings some challenges. I know people are worried about the altitude and getting their horses acclimated, and just the excitement with the new spot. So it'll be fun, and it'll be interesting.
Well, just remind everybody why it's now the CCI format, Diane. And this change took place whilst it was in Kentucky from being an NAJYRC championship, and the reasons behind that.
Okay, well, it is still a CCI for the young riders. So the one star, and hopefully having between 40 and 50 riders, so it's going strong. The two star is a CICY. So I think 2 years ago, Canada could not field a team, so we didn't actually have a championship among the different nations, so to speak. So it is running as a CIC, and our hope is that would open it up to more riders who hope potentially more qualified for a CIC than a CCI. So the definite entries aren't due until day after tomorrow, I think the 21st or the 22nd of July, so we don't have final numbers yet, but so we got a CCI for the one star and a CIC for the two star.
Do you have a sense of which teams will be making it to Colorado, though, although the definite entries are not confirmed yet, Diane?
It appears that most areas are fielding teams, at least in the one star. I believe Area 7 is not this year. I'm not sure about the Southwest. But all in all, I believe the one-star entries are strong. The two-star entries still may be a little lacking, but we'll know more in the next day or two.
So, Diane, let's talk about the schedule, the dates for the competition, and how the weekend will unfold.
The actual event runs the 27th through August, or through the 31st of July. I know the horses are trying to get there early, and many of them are getting in early enough that they're boarding elsewhere and hopefully having a little turnout and a little acclimation time, and then moving over to the Colorado Horse Park, I believe, Monday afternoon or Tuesday. And the jog is on Wednesday the 27th, and then it goes from there, dressage and cross country and show jumping.
tell everybody what they can look forward to and what sort of environment it is. You mentioned the altitude, which is something to take into account if they've not been there before, Diane.
I actually have not been there, even though I'm from the West. It seems we always head to California or up here to Montana, but I've never personally been there, so I'm looking forward to that. I know the course is looking very good. It's a James Atkinson course, I believe, and I know they've been paying attention to the footing. And so it's going to be exciting. And I know the horse park itself has a good reputation, and they do shows and all kinds of things. So and good stabling, et cetera. So yeah, it'll be fun. I'm personally am anxious to see it.
Well, yes, it is a very established venue as well, and I think quite exciting for young riders to have that opportunity to compete in a different environment too, and something as different as Colorado with the altitude and just a totally different scenario. And that'll be a new challenge in itself. I mean, exciting for young riders to have that opportunity.
Right, I agree. It's going to be fun.
And that all unfolds at the end of July out there at the Colorado Horse Park. And in terms of its future, do we know how long it will be hosting the championships there in Colorado, Diane, at this point?
We don't at the moment. I know that there's conversations going on as to where it will be in 2017, and people are moving forward with that, but we don't have any confirmation yet at this point.
Anything else that you would like our listeners to know about these championships? As co-chair of the Young Rider Committee, I'm sure there's all kinds of things unfolding continually. It's a very much a developing story with young riders and opportunities for them at all levels.
Well, I think in general the program is amazing, and I just can't say enough about it in terms of providing these young riders with the opportunity to ride in a team environment against other teams, and also watching the show jumping young riders and the dressage young riders, and just being in that environment, which is, you know, mini Olympics, I suppose you could call it. And I think it's a great step for our developing riders, and also with our Eventing 18 on our Eventing 25 program, which David O'Connor started and Leslie Law is actually coaching at the moment. It's a really good segue for those kids to compete at young riders and then hopefully either be talent spotted or do well and move on into the E18 and the E25 program. So in general, it's a healthy direction for our young riders and our quote unquote pipeline of riders coming through the system and hopefully one day riding on a big team.
That's right, all the way up to the Olympics, as they will be watching, of course, their heroes later this summer in Rio. But for now, it's their moment in the Colorado Horse Park later this month. Diane, the very best of luck with that and the new venue. I'm sure you'll enjoy Colorado. And thanks again for coming on the program.
Thank you, Chris. We'll talk soon.
Vicki Howard-Fine is the Mentorship Program Coordinator here at the USEA, and she joins me now from Denver, Colorado. You're right in the hotspot there for this summer's championships. Vicki, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Chris, for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
Well, you are right there in the thick of it, close to the Colorado Horse Park, which will be hosting the championships, as we heard from Diane earlier today. Now, that, of course, presents a wonderful opportunity for young riders who are not competing with this mentorship program. So why don't you explain overall what the program does, Vicki?
Yes, this program was originally conceptualized to have those young riders, ideally 18 to 21, who do not have that two-star level horse to compete at intermediate, to become involved in the other side of the sport and really learn what it's like to officiate, to organize, to coordinate an event of this level, and giving the young riders the opportunity to see other options beyond, you know, actually being on the back of the horse, to seeing how everything runs. And it's opened, you know, this will be the ninth year we have continued this program. And actually, it started 9 years ago at the Colorado Horse Park. So it's kind of ironic that we're back there. And then we've been other places since then. But it's nice to have it return to my home state and be in my part of the world, although I love going other places. But it's great for the kids. It allows them, again, to see what is out there beyond being the competitor. And more importantly, it also has begun to kind of teach a climate and culture shift in recognizing that the officials, the TDs, the stewards, everyone involved in this international competition is there to support the riders rather than an us against them. You know, you sometimes you get a dressage score and you're like, well, why did I get this score? But what this has done for those young people who are part of this program is to show them how willing officials and everyone involved is willing to educate them, even as a competitor, to become a better competitor, to learn more. And so we're having and they take that information back to their barns, and it's kind of like, look, these people are here to help us and talk to them and learn from them. And so very slowly we're starting the pebble effect in a pond, I hope.
Well, first of all, I'm sure there are going to be young people listening to this, Vicky, that are wondering how they could get onto this program. What does it take to be a part of it? How many do you take each year for the championships?
It varies from year to year. The program, you must be an active young rider and be known to your area coordinator. And usually in February or March, I send out an application form to the coordinators, who then notify their young riders this program is out there. They apply to their area coordinator, who then forwards on to me after kind of their own selection process, forwards on to me the applications, and then I go through them. This year I had 7 or 8 applicants. It varies from year to year, and I ended up taking 4 young riders with me. And so they'll be working with the ground jury, with the technical delegate. They'll be working with the, I have one young rider coming in Sunday night who will be working with Jay Atkinson heavily Monday and Tuesday, the cross country designer and builder, because so much of that work goes on ahead of time with the FEI stewards. So the application process kind of starts up February or March, and then by the end of May, the selection's made, and the young riders get to kind of look through and see who they feel they would learn the most from. But I move them around so much, and I limit it to 3 to 5 as my maximum number of people each year in the program, which allows them to really get up close and personal contact with all the different roles, from everyone in the ground jury to the TD to the FEI steward to the event organizer to the medical coordinator to the vets. It's really a tremendous amount of information these young riders walk away from.
So during the course of the week then, Vicky, they will have had a taste of all the different moving parts to the event then from the officials.
Exactly. They are assigned one specific mentor who is their primary mentor, if you will. And so they spend a majority of their time with that. But the minute, you know, not at all the time is dressage going on, so that suddenly someone who might be with the president of the ground jury after they've walked the cross-country course or after they've walked the show dressing course, there are other great mentors and great, you know, equine professionals to learn from. So I move them around depending upon what's going on. All of the participants have a chance to sit in the box during dressage, both 1-star and 2-star day, to actually sit side by side as the judging takes place. And the officials have been amazing in teaching these young riders what they're looking for, what they see. Sometimes they've actually had them scoring alongside of them, and then they go over it after the, during the break. And so although they might not be directly assigned with someone from the ground jury, they get that experience as well. So it's a broad-based kind of introduction to the world beyond being on the back of a horse.
And in terms of the sort of review afterwards, Vicky, what sort of follow-up is there for them to review what they've learned and to make sure they've got it right and may have any questions, of course?
At the end of each day, we all sit down together and we kind of go together about, you know, who had what experience, what did they go through. What was their, what observations did they have? What questions did they have? And so that's a daily kind of process before they leave competition that day and return to their individual areas. So it's a daily kind of process. They kind of go over everything with their mentors every day to then look forward to what's going to be tomorrow and find their meeting time. At the end of the program, there's an evaluation process that each one of the young rider protégés participates in, and each one of the mentors, professionals who have been involved, gives me feedback, and then I take that feedback and adapt the program for the next year. And as I say, I think that's kind of how I've come down to why I've taken a few of the roles out and just made them, you know, we spend an hour or two with one role or an hour or two with a different role, rather than initially when the program started, I had 10. And I had 10 young riders assigned to 10 different professionals. And I have found over the years that some of them lead to a better educational experience than others, in terms of being directly assigned to somebody. And others lend themselves to an hour here or an hour there, depending upon what's going on.
Well, I'm sure over the course of the time that you've been doing this, Vicky, you've heard all kinds of wonderful stories and feedback from the young people that have gone through the program. Give us some little tidbits and sound bites from those people. So, I mean, it might inspire others who want to get involved with the program.
Actually, I think one of the best things was the podcast that you did last year in August, when we involved three young riders who had been in the program before and myself. And the young riders are the best advocates and the best promoters of this program. I have been so blessed with really bright, inquisitive young people who gain from this program that a world they never thought existed, and has spurred them to go on and think about, gosh, maybe I would like to be a dressage judge. Maybe I would like to be a technical delegate. And just opening their eyes to a world that they didn't know existed. And many maintain contact with me when they go off to college, because my attitude is, you know, we've had a very concentrated relationship for 4 or 5 days during competition, but I'm always there to help them and guide them. And, I had a phone call last week from one young girl who's a student at Texas A&M, and she called to say, gosh, it's getting young rider time, and I miss being there. And it's just, I think it's again, one of the best things we can offer our young people in this country is exposure to a world they hadn't yet seen, and open up opportunities for them to explore. So the program has been really more than I ever could have thought. And I have, as I say, been blessed continually with meeting some amazing young people that are in our sport and will continue to be a huge part of our sport. And that's what's important about this.
Yes, I'm sure, you know, as young people, you know, attend competitions and they're very involved as a competitor, as a rider, that they often think that the role of officials is unreachable, unattainable, that it's something that somebody else does, and they don't know quite what steps it takes to get involved themselves. So this is a wonderful opportunity, the mentorship program that you run, Vicky, and of course Colorado Park in your backyard, literally this year. Any little tidbits for our listeners about what they can look forward to as they get into the horse park there, maybe for the first time?
We've had a wonderful summer this year in Colorado, which is great, and it is as green can be, and that's not always that way in Colorado, but it is magnificent right now. You see wide open spaces. Those young people who come from the East Coast who aren't used to wide open, vistas, the Colorado Horse Park looks out over to the entire western mountain slope, so it's quite a view. That an expanse and openness. It's a wonderful opportunity to see what the world is like in the western part of the United States, where you can drive forever, as many of our young riders in this area know. They drive 9 hours for a competition, where in many other parts of the country, if you drive more than an hour to events, it's too much. So it's an exposure to a different part of the world, and that we kind of go on forever to cross from one corner of this state to another corner of this state can take 9 hours. So it's a very different experience in that sense. And, it's The other thing that's very interesting, and I always encourage people coming to Colorado, that you must respect how much you need water in this part of the world to drink, because even though it's 95 degrees out, we have zero humidity. And so you don't think you're hot, but you're very hot, and your horses are very hot. And they need, everybody needs water, water, water. So, you know, I look forward to it. You know, it is in my backyard. This Colorado Horse Park is where my son started eventing and started riding. So to me, it holds a very special place in my heart, because without that, I would never have become involved with USCA, because I don't ride myself. But it's nice to be able to show off, you know, this particular venue and this particular environment, which is so close to my heart and part of the sport.
And I'm sure the young people that are part of the program this year are looking forward to it. Vicki Howard-Fine, who is the coordinator for the mentorship program here at the USCA, thank you so much for coming back on the program, and good luck with this year's event.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
And again, you can find out more about the mentorship program by going to the website at useventing.com, and about the Young Rider Championships by clicking on the link on the website at useventing.com. That event takes place from July 26th through the 31st at the Colorado Horse Park. And on the next episode of the USCA's official podcast, we'll be previewing the Neutrino USCA American Eventing Championships, which will be held at the Tryon International Equestrian Center for the first time from August the 31st through the September the 4th. That's coming up on the next episode of the USCA's official podcast. So until then, remember to follow us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, and online at useventing.com. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.